Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to see a good crowd here this morning, and we do welcome all of you here. And I do see we have some special guests from the Kelly family and the Lane family here with us for the dedications this morning, so it's good to have y'all with us. And any guests we have, it's good to be here together for our worship service this morning. I do have several things to highlight, some that were just shown, but some that may not have been. One is, next week we did have scheduled our fifth Sunday community service, but that has been dismissed, and we will not have services here next Sunday night either. So all services next Sunday night will be dismissed. Also, I did want to highlight, and that was just up there, but next Sunday we do have the youth dinner. We'd like for all of you, if you could, to make plans to attend that next Sunday and be here for that. And also next Saturday, this upcoming Saturday, we have a group leaving for teen mission. And I'm not sure what time they'll be leaving, but they are leaving this Saturday. So let's do remember that group in our prayers as they prepare to leave for that time. And again, I had the same little birdie fly by this morning. It seems like every week that bird keeps coming by and let me know whose birthday it is. So I felt like I should share again that today is Miss Mary Lane's birthday. So we do wish her a very special happy birthday. Also, I will mention, it's in your bulletin, but I will highlight it. I believe, make sure I have it right before I say it. This upcoming Saturday is the Easter egg hunt for the toddlers and the pre-beginners and the beginners. So just do your best to make plans to bring your children and attend that activity. Were there any other announcements that need to be made this morning from the congregation? Scott?
Just wanted to update everybody on our men's 33, the sharing of, you know, learning Jesus' life for 33 here on earth, years on earth. I would like for the men that participated in the first six weeks was over last night. We saw, watched the last session, which was Seasons. They were from young to old, and I asked them to stand, not for what they did, but for what Jesus is doing in our life and giving us a demonstration. So if y'all would stand, and y'all look around, the men look around. We had over 30 men there last night, and over probably in the neighborhood of 35 that participated, either on Tuesdays or Wednesday mornings. And the reason why I asked them to stand is so y'all look at them and see them and ask them, you know, other men that's not in it, find one of them and ask them what's going on, because it's really exciting. And I appreciate it. Y'all can have a seat, but it couldn't be possible without Trey. Trey does the evening class at 7:30, and we're going to start back. We're going to give them Easter off. We're going to start back on that, April the 7th and 8th. That'll be Tuesday at 7:30, right, Trey? And Wednesday mornings at 6 o'clock is the other class with me in. So we made it where you could find a time that would fit, morning or evening, and we're going to get started then, and if you want to be a part of this, just because you weren't a part of the first six, doesn't mean you can't start at any time, so get in touch with somebody and let us know if we fix your order material for this second section of 6 weeks, and look forward to seeing everybody there.
All right, thank you, Scott, and I will say in the bulletin, it does say that we have a meeting this Tuesday and Wednesday. That will be We don't have any meetings this Tuesday and Wednesday. We will skip, just like Scott said, skip a week before we start again. But I will echo what Scott said. I was part of that and had the opportunity to do that. And I do encourage anybody that would like to get involved in it. It really is a blessing and encouragement to go through the series and to be around a group of men that are there for you and encourage you and there to talk with. So it is a good thing. So I encourage you to be a part of that. Were there any other announcements this morning from the congregation? Any praises? Anything you'd like to share? If not, we'll open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful to you for all you've blessed us with. We thank you for this place we have to come together, the opportunity we have, the freedom we have to be here and to serve you openly. And we thank you for that. I pray, Lord, we never take it for granted. We thank you, Lord, for your word that you've given us, you've blessed us with. And I just pray this morning, as Pastor Walls brings the message, that you would open our hearts and our minds and make us receptive to that word so that we can take it and apply it to our lives and better serve you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
A beautiful day to gather together. We are a family in God as a church. We invite you to join us at the call of worship, followed by the hymn number 92, Love Divine, Love All Excelling. Let us stand together. He is here. Hallelujah. While you're standing, greet those around you, wishing God's blessing today.
Boy, such a special service indeed when you have young families that are committing themselves to God, committing themselves to raise their children in a Christian home, that they'll know what faith is about. And this morning we have two families that are doing that. And what a blessing, because family gets to do the dedication. And so I'm going to ask if Reverend Evans and Reverend Griffith would come at this time.
At this time, we ask for Mary and Brad and Patrick and Laura, and grandmoms and granddads can come on up too. I think that's what you want, right? That's right. And whoever else you want to come up here. It really is a thrill for me to be here today. I enjoy coming back to Turbeville Church. A lot of you probably don't know me. I was a little kid growing up here many years ago. It's been about 40 years now since I went off to go into the ministry. And it's always a joy to come back here. And we got a big family. That's right. And Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven." Brent, Mary, and Patrick, and Laura, God has blessed you by giving you, well, a whole bunch of them, but particularly today, Jesse and Luke. And little children is a blessing. And they are greater blessings when we see them grow up and find the Lord Jesus Christ and live for the Lord and serve Him. And so the day that you come before this congregation to dedicate, present your little ones to the Lord, we think it's about them, but it's about you. It's about you saying that you're going to bring this little one up in the ways of the Lord, to teach them about who God is and about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that unto Him you can find salvation. And so today we come together and we do this. And this is kind of unique. And Bill and I, it's a joy for us to do this, to come and just see these two little ones given to the Lord and dedicated to the Lord. May we pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings upon this family and this church as they come to present their children, Jesse and Luke, to you in these acts of dedication. May you bless Jesse and Luke as they grow in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to read from Mark. It says, "They brought young children to Christ, and they should touch them, and his disciples rebuked them that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as little children, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them." Mary and Brent, and bringing Jesse and to holy baptism, you do accept it as your solemn duty to live before him the life that becometh the gospel, to teach him to renounce the devil and all his works, vain prop and glory of this world, with all carnal desires of the flesh, so that he may not follow or be led by them, to teach him to know the holy scriptures that are able to make him wise unto salvation through faith that is in Jesus Christ, and to teach him obediently to keep God's holy will and the commandments all the days of his life. When he has reached the age of understanding, he being willing thereto and showing evidence of living faith in Christ, it become your duty to bring him before the congregation, that he may therefore ratify and make his own act of dedication, which you this day perform on his behalf. Do you solemnly assume these obligations, as we do, God being our helper? Amen. Will you name this child? Jesse Lee Lane. Jesse Lee Lane, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
You had to be up here to understand what was... Of course, much of what Brother Ellison just shared, I do as well, but the scriptures are full of instances and occasions where godly parents brought their children to present them to the Lord. Two of probably the best known would be when Hannah brought Samuel to present him to the Lord as she promised. And then in Luke 2, where the Bible talks about Mary and Joseph bringing Jesus to present him to God in the Holy Temple. The scriptures do bear witness of the fact that of old godly parents have dedicated their children to the Lord in His service. And we're confident, therefore, of divine approval today as this child, these children, but Luke is brought before the church to be dedicated to God and His service. It is our duty as a congregation to receive these children into the care of the church and to minister to their welfare in every way possible. So Patrick and Laura, I'm going to ask you, and I'll say it first, you are presenting Luke for dedication to God. In so doing, you manifest your concern for the spiritual welfare of this child and express your purpose to lead him in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you set before Luke the example of a godly life? Will you instruct Luke in the elements of the Christian faith? And will you seek to lead him to accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior? And will you nurture him in the Christian life and endeavor to bring Luke into the membership of the church? Will you do these things, thus helping him to confirm by his own action the dedication which we make today? If so, answer, we will. Luke Harrison Kelly. As a minister of Jesus Christ, and along with your parents and the family present here, we now dedicate you to God and His service in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to ask you as a church, and Ellison wants me to do this as well, if you will declare your support in every way to nurture these children in the Lord and these parents in the Lord, would you please stand? Where's Pastor Rodney? I'm going to ask you to have a closing prayer, if you will.
God, our hearts are full and overflowing. We thank you for the gift of life, and especially we thank you for the gift of life of Jesse and Luke, and Lord, for the plan and the purpose that you have prepared for them. And Lord, as your church gathered and now standing with these parents and these families, help us to understand that you will use us to help grow them up in the faith. And Lord, we ask that all the resources of your kingdom and of your church might be available to these families, that they might fulfill the commitments that they have made at your altar this morning. And we pray, Lord, and we thank you again for the lives of Luke and for Jesse. May you set them apart to your holy purpose. And we do these things all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Again, as a church, we always have so many things and needs to pray about, but that's okay because our God is big enough and great enough for each and every need. So let's pray again. Lord, for what we've just been involved with and witnessed, we we can't help but praise you. And Lord, for the joy of being forgiven and chosen to be a part of not, Lord, just a kingdom, but to be a part of your family, we rejoice today. For the great privilege that you have placed upon each of us as followers of your Son, the joy and privilege of telling others about Jesus, we can't help but praise you for that as well. For the power of your love that calls us out and sends us into the world, Lord, may that love just overflow in our lives. Lord, what a day you've given us to celebrate and to worship. And Lord, we pray that through this time in your presence that you would begin a new work in our lives, a new chapter in our lives, that we will find ourselves more committed to you and to Calvary than we've ever been before. And Lord, we pray especially for those right now that life's got them down a little bit. They've got a lot of things going on in their lives and they're hurting. And Lord, they need a touch. They don't just need any touch, they need your touch. And we pray that through your Spirit that you would reach out in this exact moment and touch them and help them to know that whether it's a physical need or an emotional need, that you're right there standing with them and that, Lord, that with you, that you'll see them through to the other side. And Lord, we pray. We pray even now for an open door this week that you would allow us the opportunity to ask and invite people to come and be a part of the Easter celebration that Lord, we've been praying about for weeks. Because we believe so much in those days of Friday and Sunday and how powerful they are. So Lord, help us to be mindful of the opportunity to invite. And Lord, when it's all said and done, we'd simply pray what the psalmist wrote, for the sake of your name, may you lead and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.
So kind.
Ushers, please come forward to receive our tithes and offerings.
During the singing of our next hymn, we will invite our children's and children's church workers to their place of worship for the remaining of the service. And then following the singing of number 284, Brother Gray Cooker is going to come and share a special selection for us, and then our pastor, the message of the morning. Pray for our pastor again as he shares God's word today. Joining together, we are one in spirit. Remember, we are a family in Christ. Praise his wonderful name. Thank you, church, and you may be seated. Gray?
My Father is omnipotent, and that you can't deny. A God of might and miracles, 'tis written in the sky. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. Though here his glory has been shown, we still can't fully see the wonders of his might, his throne. 'Twill take eternity. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. The Bible tells us of his power and wisdom all the way through, and every little bird and flower are testimonies too. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace.
I'd cry. Can we make God happy? Can we make God sad? I suppose we could answer at least in part the question by saying, well, you know, we are made in the image of God, and if God made us with emotions, then maybe we ought to conclude that God indeed has emotions. But we don't even have to worry about doing that. All we really got to do is just get a little deeper into the Word, and what we find is absolutely God knows about emotion, and God has emotions. In fact, we know with clarity, the Bible says that God knows about anger. Numbers chapter 11, the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord, and when the Lord heard it, his anger was aroused. And if we look at Jesus, you know, Son of God, Savior of the world, we look at him, and we know that in more than one occasion, he showed anger. In fact, there was once he was in a synagogue, and there was a man there, he had a bad hand, and the religious leaders were looking at Jesus and wondering whether he was going to heal the man, not so that the man would be healed, but it's a no-no to heal on the Sabbath, at least it was back then. And so we're told that Jesus looked around and he knew what they were thinking. They'd rather that man suffer with a bad hand than that he heal them on the Sabbath. And we are told that Jesus looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed. Of course, for the Bible scholars, you already know about the temple stuff, right? The overturning the tables and the whip and driving people out. So God knows about anger. An old Puritan preacher once taken passages like this that revealed the anger of God. Jonathan Edwards, he once preached a sermon, how fearful, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. And folks, by the way, it absolutely is. And we absolutely deserve to fall into the hands of an angry God. And the only reasons we don't fall into the anger of God is through Jesus Christ and only Jesus Christ. God knows about anger. God also said himself, I am a jealous God. In other words, God says, I want all of you and I'm not willing to share any part of you. And so we are always supposed to be all in and all out for God. God says 100%, that's the only thing that I will accept from you. Truth is, God saved us and so God gets to determine the relationship. And if he says it's 100%, then it's 100%. But God also knows about love. We know that. We sing about it all the time. In fact, we talk a lot about love. We don't often talk about jealousy and anger, but we talk a lot about love, and why not? I mean, there's lots of love verses in the Bible for us to cherish, and we should. In fact, John, the apostle, finally just said it. Look, God is love. He doesn't just love us. He is love itself. And there's verses about joy and happiness, and God can't give us these things if God doesn't know these things. And yes, we know that God knows about love, but we also know that he knows about grieving. The pain of love betrayed, and how painful is that? You ask any adult or any teenager who's ever been the recipient of love that has been rejected, and they'll tell you how much that it hurts. And the truth is, our text this morning, these are some tough words, by the way. And we don't go far to find these words. Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 5 and 6. And in fact, for me, these are some of the most sad and powerful and terrible verses in all of Scripture when you read them. I mean, think about it. We're chapter 6. I mean, it hasn't been but just a couple of chapters. In chapter 1, God said, look, he saw everything that he had created, including us. And he said, oh, it's good. It's really good. But by chapter 6, things have changed dramatically. It says, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. Does God cry? Grieved that he'd even made us. God has emotions and feelings. That much I think we can see from the Scripture even this morning. The one thing I think we need to be careful is to make sure that we understand that God's emotions never get the best of God. God is still God. God doesn't lose control. Now we do, don't we? Sometimes our emotions get the best of us. Sometimes I've done things and said things in the heat of the moment, and it's like, I wish I would have controlled that just a little better. Well, God doesn't have to worry about that. God never lets his emotions get the best of him. They are not corrupted by sin like our emotions are corrupted by sin. And the truth is, the more that we love God this morning, the more the words like we just read here in the 6th chapter of Genesis, the more these words have got to tug at our hearts, because we know that we all have at some point or the other caused God's heart to hurt. Does God cry? Well, shortest verse of the Bible seems to indicate the Son of God cries. It says Jesus wept. And I believe there are other times that tears must form in the eyes of God, especially when God looks out at this beautiful, awesome creation and see how much that we have messed it up. I mean, God made this beautiful garden and put us in it and said, oh, you get to enjoy it and be good stewards of it, but instead we've turned around and we've become abusers of it. Now, how many places today aren't fit to almost have human habitation? The water's no good, the air's no good, and the land has been so abused, it won't grow anything. That doesn't sound like stewardship, or at least good stewardship, to me. I mean, God made the world. I don't think he made it so that we would mess it up this way. And how God must grieve at times when we simply choose sin over forgiveness. how God must hurt at the way that we treat each other, often with hatred and prejudice. People blowing up other Christians on their way to church. God must hurt when terrorists behead other people in the name of some God. Tears must form in the eyes of God when parents not only abuse but then kill their children. God must hurt when children take guns to school and open fire. How evil we've become. And all of these things simply reveal how far we've fallen from where God created us and when he said, oh, it was so good. And the truth is, we so often still continue to choose sin over a relationship with God, and we continue to do these terrible things. And yes, I suspect sometimes our own callousness adds a little hurt to the heart of God. There's so much suffering and hurt that's out there today. People being exploited, human trafficking. People today, and we don't understand this because it's never happened to us, but there's people today that are going to go to bed hungry and their stomachs are going to be gnawing at them because they didn't have anything to eat. And God forbid we so often just don't care. Or we try to put a Band-Aid on it, don't we? Come Christmas time, we take $20 and throw it in a shoebox and send it off. And well, we ought to do that, by the way. But we throw it off as if somehow we've done something good for someone. Well, none of us miss that $20. What amazes me is there's even people who won't even do that. The resources we have would alleviate so much suffering today, but will we do it? Will we travel to faraway places and to orphanages and hold little babies and sing, Jesus loves me? Will we care so much that we'll then come back home and then send money back so that baby can be fed and have some sort of a life? And I know that God's heart aches when we as Christians, when we don't care enough to talk to others about Jesus, because God cares. Jesus cares. Jesus' standing invitation was coming to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So do we care enough to say, oh, come. Come to Jesus. God, use us to talk with someone today about what they're looking for, where they find rest is right there in Jesus. I mean, we know that God's heart is that everyone will come to repentance and life. We know that without any doubt. And when Jesus is the Lord of our lives, when it's more than what we say, but when he's really the Lord of our lives, then we too will care. Troubling trends have happened in many denominations over the last 20 years. Many mainline denominations today have cut their spending in outreach and missions. No longer sending missionaries out. No longer really reaching out. It shouldn't surprise us that every one of those denominations that have cut their spending on outreach and missions are in serious decline today. In the church movement, known as the Book of Acts, I mean, the church had all kinds of issues to work through. Who was going to do what? How were they going to organize themselves? But one thing that was absolutely clear, was never in question, was simply this, that they knew everyone was supposed to be talking to other ones about Jesus. And what happened was some incredible things. They were faithful, they were obedient, and my, did God bless and move, and people were making decisions. I mean, what a joyous, powerful time that must have been. So does God cry? Well, here's Major John Gage's response to that question. He said the papers arrived in May, and he said there was a sense of some relief because of all the legal stuff was over, but he said he was filled with such hurt and pain and aloneness because what had arrived was the divorce papers. And he said he couldn't help but he's thinking back to just 10 years earlier, how that there was such joy at the union, and now somebody that didn't even know them signed a paper, and it was now all over. And he said it was just more than he could take that day, so he went for a run. And he said, you know, sometimes when I'm out jogging and running, he said, I just can zone out. And he said, that's what I had to do. And he said, I don't even know how far I went that day. He said it was a perfect day on the outside, but as far as weather goes. There was not even a little white puffy thing. I mean, crystal clear. Temperature's right. And he said, I ran, he ran. He said, finally, he said, when I just couldn't go any farther, he said, I stopped. And he said, I literally cried out, you know, God, are you here? Do you even know what I'm going? Do you care what I'm going through? He said, in a split second later, a drop hit him on the cheek. And he said, you know, I looked up and said, I feared I was going to see a bird flying by. He said, that's the way my day was going. He said, but there wasn't a bird and there wasn't a cloud. And he said, from his end, he said, he believed in that moment, God shed a tear to let him know that, yes, he knew what he was going through, and yes, that he cared. Not only knows that we're going through difficult times, not only cares that we hurt, but willing to help us. See, that's one of the great central truths of Christianity, that God loves us and cares about it and is willing to help us. Look, God knows about sadness, and we know that we've caused some of his sadness, but let's make God happy, because God also knows about happiness. So instead of making God hurt and grieve, let's fill God's heart with laughter and love. I mean, God loves it when we come together and love each other. See, God is thrilled when we come together and we really support each other. See, I've got to believe that God was laughing and smiling and saying, that's what I'm talking about, when 14 little 10-year-old fifth graders all had their heads shaved out in Oceanside, California. Now, one of those little boys didn't have a choice. He had lymphoma, and he was taking chemo, and the doctors had said, your hair is going to all fall out in clumps. And so his parents decided, well, rather than have him experience that, they shaved his head. Ian O'Gorman. And so some of Ian's friends found out what was going on, and so they got together, and 13 little boys marched off to the barbershop, and each had their head shaved because they didn't want little Ian to feel like he was going to stand out and that he was going through it alone. See, I think that's what it's talking about. That's carrying each other's burdens. That's the way that we fulfill the law of Christ. I think God was saying, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. When Mark... Now, Mark and Heidi, they go to Willow Creek Church outside of Chicago, and Mark said one day he walked up to the grocery store checkout line. He had gotten a few things, but also noticed that there was some flowers there, and he thought, you know, I'll just take some flowers to my wife. And so he grabbed up a bundle of them, and he's behind this elderly woman, and she sees the flower, and she begins to talk with him and share how that her husband used to bring her flowers all the time, but that he had died several years ago. Now, Mark is also a minister there at Willow Creek, and he said, so the pastor side of him just, you know, clicked in. He could tell she was still hurting. And so he began to talk to her about, you know, how that God loved her and cared for her and all those things. And she smiled and said, well, thank you. And he said, oh, I'll have a prayer for you. And she said, oh, that would be fine. And she pays and she walks out the door. And he said she hadn't hardly cleared the door until the Holy Spirit just whacked him upside the head. And said, why don't you give her those flowers? So he said, I almost ran out without paying for him. He said, but I told the clerk I'll be right back. He threw some money on the guy. He said, I run out. He said, I looked around, found her getting in her car, and he walked up to her and said, look, I know your husband is dead, and these are not from him, but he said, I just want you to know, here's some flowers. And a friendship has ensued, by the way. Now Mark and Heidi know this woman very, very well, all because they were willing to care enough to show it. Carry each other's burdens and so fulfill the law. I believe that God smiles when we do those things. I believe God smiles when we seek him with all of our hearts and when we're ready to do his will. God rejoices when we let the Holy Spirit use us to bring others into the kingdom. And by the way, if you don't think that it is important for us to be out there and seeking that which is lost, just go read Luke 15 this afternoon. Because Jesus wants to make sure we don't miss the point. In fact, he kind of puts exclamation point on that chapter, because there's three stories in that chapter and they're all making the same point. And that is, we go out and we seek that which is lost, and when we find it, we are told there's a party in heaven. I believe God's a big part of that party. I don't know about you. So God rejoices. We make God smile. We bring laughter, I believe, to his heart when we're out there and we're introducing others to Jesus and leading them to Calvary. Look, finding what God wants and then doing it, that's what'll make God happy. living out our faith in such a way that we'll get out of the safety of the boat and really believe that Jesus is going to take care of us, that makes God happy. When we have a life filled with hope that looks beyond all the difficulties and says, you know what? I trust God. I know He knows what I'm going through, and I know He cares. That makes God happy. Oh, with renewed vitality, let us commit to what God is about. Once read that, you know, if you want to be a part of something absolutely amazing, just find out what God's doing and become a part of it. Well, let's get out there. Let's begin to talk to people about Jesus. I mean, Easter's coming. It's not far. Yes, we got to go through Calvary and all the sadness of Calvary, but the exclamation point to Good Friday is Easter. So let's get out there and begin to share with people how that their sins were also forgiven. And everyone we bring, wouldn't it be great if our church is full come this Easter and people are making decisions about Christ and they recognize that they need Him in their life, and God not only sends them to us to lead them to Calvary, but then uses them in our church and they begin to grow in their faith and God raises them up to become leaders in our church. See, these are the things that make God happy. Man, I want to be a part of it. Can't wait to be a part of it. Look, I know I've caused enough tears in God's eyes because of my stupidity and my sin, but I want to make God happy. I want to give my life to following Him better than I ever have before. That should be our vision, and that should be our passion. Let's not contribute to those things that make God sad. Let's give our lives to making God happy. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You. We thank You that even though that we hurt You and even though we so often reject You and we walk away from You, and Lord, we thank You that You love us anyway. We don't deserve it. We'll never deserve it. But Lord, help us to get as quickly as we can to Calvary, because it's there, Lord, that You begin a work in our lives, and it's there, Lord, that You begin to change who we are. And it's there, Lord, that we begin to understand that as we in faithfulness follow You, that You will lead us where we need to be, where You want us to be, where You'll use us. Oh, God, Lord, help us this day that we will do the things, that we'll be faithful enough, that You'll be happy, that You'll be happy with our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand as we sing this morning.
We're going to invite you to turn to number 452. Number 452, Make Me a Blessing. As we sing this, if you're here as a believer and you really feel a new sense of desire to really make God happy and surrendering your purpose and your activity to His glory, and you'd like to do so at this altar of rededication, you come and do so as we sing together. Door 452. Out in the highways and byways of life, Lord, make me a blessing.
if you do it, you know, if you really let him use you to make a blessing someone, you'll put a smile on his face. Dr. Blaine.
Lord, mighty God, bless us together singing.
Thank you.